Bill, I'll say this right off the bat. It's always good talking to you on Super Bowl week.
Absolutely.
It doesn't happen every year, but it's happened quite a bit. It's always a little bit better than most seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a special week, no question about it. It's a real privilege to be in this game, and our team's worked hard. They've earned it. They've met the competition and are still standing, so it's a great opportunity this week, you know, opportunity of a lifetime that we'll all remember.
This is the fifth time you've been here as a Patriots head coach in this game. The way you prepare now, do you feel like you did it the same way the first time you went with the Patriots, or going there, you know, four times previous, has that changed your routine before you get to the Super Bowl city?
Right. Well, the first time was a little bit different because it was a one-week game. After we beat Pittsburgh, then we played in New Orleans against the Rams the following Sunday, so it was just 1 week. As I look back at that now, going what we're going through this week and next week, it's hard to imagine those 2 weeks being compressed into one. But that's the way it was. But as far as this game relative to the other games, I think the preparation's similar. It takes a couple days to kind of get through some of the logistics and things like that and figure out exactly how you want to set things up most efficiently, your travel, your practice setup, your all that. And then once you get out there, I think that's pretty consistent as far as your routine, your practice routine, you know, the media requirements, all the things leading up to the game. So it definitely helps from a preparation standpoint to have gone through it. But each one's different and every situation's different. And you still have to, it'll all come down to Sunday, what team's able to perform the best out there on that stage. And everything's pointing toward that.
Brady brought up an interesting point this week. People obviously talking about how immense this game is, and he said, no, to us, we treat it like it's another big game, which is the same way we treat it every single Sunday. Is that the best approach to keep guys kind of in gear and not get too hyped up for it, Bill, with all of the stuff that's going to happen and the change that you're going to get with the clock and everything else during the Sunday?
Yeah, I think basically that's right. I mean, once you step out on the field, it's still 11 guys against 11 guys, and everything else is basically the same. So, you know, a little longer halftime, a few more timeouts, and that kind of thing. But other than that, it's essentially, like every other big game. So, preparation leading up to it's the same, and being able to get out there and execute during the game and make adjustments. And, the other team's had a long time to prepare, too, in a game like this. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some new wrinkles, some things that both teams will have to adjust to, but that's part of the big game and part of the big games.
I'm sure you know the media theme of the week is going to be revenge, Super Bowl 42, Giants, Patriots. I think 16 Giants were there in 2007, 7 Patriots there in 2007. So 23 guys out of 106, completely different personnel groups. But is there anything from that game that you could look out now and it's applicable to the Super Bowl, or do you just say that happened a long time ago, we really can't draw anything from that game to help us win this game?
I think they're the Giants are the Giants, and they've been pretty consistent through the years, going back to the 07 season. And we played them every year since then in preseason. The coaching staff is similar. They've changed defensive coordinators, but there's some carryover with some of the players there. And overall, I'd say the schemes that they've used over the last few years have been similar, even though they've had different guys in that position. And offensively, with Tom and Manning, there are a lot of similarities, as I'm sure they would say the same thing about us offensively as well. So, but again, there's so much that's happened, and as you said, there's so many new players, new faces that a lot of water under the bridge in those 4 years. And I think this game is really about this game. It's not about something that happened 4 years ago.
I do want to ask you about the conference championships. As I said earlier, this is your fifth trip to the Super Bowl with the Patriots. This may seem like a strange question, but do you ever know, and you look back, do you ever know that a team is not championship material? I mean, you know, you didn't make it in 2002. You didn't make the playoffs. It's hard to find like a down season. Okay, 2009, you lost in the first round. Do you ever go into a season knowing, I don't know about this team?
I think you feel that sometimes. Yeah, I think you definitely know that, you know, some teams are better than others, or some teams in certain situations are better than others. But again, it's all relative to the competition, and that's, you know, that's really all it's about. It's not how good you are, it's how good you are relative to the team that you're playing that week. That's, you know, both teams could be down a little bit, or both teams could be better than what they've been in the past. And so that's, you know, it's really, it's such a current, you know, comparing teams, comparing games, comparing other situations. I mean, it's a nice conversation, but really everyone's different. And certainly when you're in the moment, you got to treat the one that you're in. That, you know, that's what everything is. It's not about something else. So, but sure, there's times where you feel better or not as good about where you are at that particular point, but that doesn't mean that things can't go well, or if you feel good, they can't not go well.
You ever surprise yourself? We're in the Super Bowl. I can't believe that this team is here.
Well, I'd say probably the best example of that was in 01. I mean, that, you know, that team in the playoffs, we only scored 3 offensive touchdowns and, you know, and won a championship. So there are a lot of things that had to go right. A lot of things had to be managed or done just about perfectly. We had to score points in ways other than being on the field offensively in the kicking game and defensively and so forth. So, but that team did it, and they were able to step up and do it competitively against great competition. So you can't take anything away from them. But, you know, I think when you go into the playoffs and you're worried about being able to score, you know, that's definitely a concern.
How about this team this year? Did you feel pretty good about this all year long, or was there a point in which...
Well, we've had our moments, Glenn. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've seen all the games. We've had our moments, but teams worked hard. They've been very competitive. They've never gotten down, no matter what the situation's been, whether we've been behind by 3 touchdowns in the first quarter or behind on the road or whatever it is. You know, we played competitively every week, sometimes better than others, but the effort, the toughness, and all that's been there. So that's been good. You know, I think we just got to, you know, we just got to coach and play well. You know, I think we're going to, we have tough guys. Guys are going to work hard. And we just got to go out there and do a good job. We got to coach well. We got to play well. So it's down to a 1-game season. Hopefully we can get our best this week.
We keep on hearing how mentally resilient this team is. The players talk about it all the time. And I cite that documentary the NFL Network did on you. You and Brady are on the sideline in that New Orleans game. You're getting blown out in that game, and you're talking to Brady, and you're telling Tom that I can't get these guys to do what I want them to do. How much of it, Bill, is getting the players to buy in to what you and the coaching staff are trying to sell them? And sometimes some guys just... They're always on the other side of it. They're not willing to buy in, and you need the whole team to buy into the concept.
Well, I mean, you know, in football, it's a great question, but in football, it's a hard thing to measure because you have so many people. You know, you have 53 active players, and you have a coaching staff, and unlike in some other sports, you know, you're dealing with a different roster in September and a different roster in November and a different roster in January. You know, there's people that are due to injuries and other circumstances. It's not the same, quite the same mix. You know, we don't have the same mix of guys that we had in September, you know, and we've added some players and we've lost some players for one reason or another. So, you know, it's a journey and it's a process. But I would say without question, this team has a much tougher mental frame of mind than the 09 team did. I mean, there's no comparison.
We know that Patriots players usually don't talk about their own injuries, and they don't talk about their teammates' injuries. I think most guys have gotten the message there.
Oh, that's good.
How about parents? What do you do when their parents talk about injuries? Rob Gronkowski's dad went on sports radio. I mean, what do you do about that? You just shrug, and his dad comes out and says, "Hey, he's got a high ankle sprain."
Was that from Dr. Gronkowski?
You know, and our parents always say things, you know, sometimes they say things about us that we don't really want shared publicly, whether it's how we were when we were 5 years old or what our status is.
I'd check
is.
And see if he has a Twitter account.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would do.
I mean, do you address it or you ignore it? I mean, what kind of approach do you take when that comes up?
You know, we're just really focused on what we do. And there are a lot of things that get said outside of our team by by lots of people, and we can't worry or control those. What we're most concerned about is what we do, and where we're trying to be, how we're going to get there, what we're going to do to get there. So we worry about what we control. What everybody else does is out of our hands.
Do you anticipate any practice time for him leading up to the game, Gronkowski?
We'll take it day by day. We'll see how he's doing.
All right, let's get into the Giants, the front four. Everybody talks about them, a couple of the guys that were there 4 years ago. The thing that's amazing to me is their length, Bill, and you talk about the pass rush that they cause problems for quarterbacks. What about the fact that they get their hands on so many balls out there, and does that force you to kind of change up the way you play in the offensive line at all because of their length?
Well, they, no question. They do a great job of disrupting the throw, whether it's batting balls down or getting up in the passing lane so the quarterback has to pull the ball down or throw around them or alter the throw. So they affect a lot of passes, no question. They do a great job of that. It's definitely a factor. And, the most important thing for us is to, number one, block them, and number two, to create clean passing lanes, and that's a function of both the offensive line, tight ends, who's ever involved in protection, and the quarterback. And the quarterback has to, can't throw it through them, so we've got to throw it either over them or around them, and the offensive line, tight ends, running backs, whoever's involved in the protection there, we want to try to create passing lanes for the quarterback so that it's less of a problem as opposed to more of a problem. So it depends on the play, depends on the drop, depends on the route, and so forth. There's a lot of moving parts on that, but, in the end, that's what we're trying to do, is get a clean pocket for the quarterback and give them an opportunity to see and throw to the receivers down the field. It's challenging, though. Mm-hmm. These guys do a good job, and they have great ball awareness. They understand where the quarterback's looking, and they do a good job of getting into his line of vision to either, as I say, hit the ball or, alter the throw in some manner.
You look at a kid like Jason Pierre-Paul, I guess that's the best-case scenario for the Giants. I mean, he was a raw prospect coming out of South Florida, I believe, and he has really, in a short time, he has really added a lot of polish to his game. Can you compare where he was coming out of college to where he is now? I think it's pretty dramatic.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coming out of college, we all knew he was a tremendous athlete. He had one year of production at South Florida, and even that was somewhat circumstantial. I mean, there were games where he, didn't, his lack of experience showed, let's put it that way. And there were other times where, he showed up with, great production and made some spectacular athletic plays. But no question, he's done a good job. Obviously he's gotten good coaching. He's worked hard. He's taken the whatever instruction that he's gotten, whether it be from his teammates or his coaches or whoever it is, and become a polished football player that does a lot of things well, is getting better all the time, and has a great future.
You mentioned the coaching, and I was going to ask you about that. There's no doubt that the Giants are a well-coached team. And I'm wondering, when you were there in the same staff with Parcells, Tom Coughlin, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, did you get a sense, did you know at the time, this is a pretty special group, or did it take some distance from that coaching staff to realize what you guys had there?
No, I personally felt at that time that was a very good coaching staff, and of course, when you're a defensive coach, you're a lot more familiar with the coaches on your side of the ball than you are with the other coaches. Tom and I worked together because he was the receiver coach and I coached the secondary, but as far as my interaction with a lot of the other coaches on the offensive staff, I mean, you see them coming in the morning, you talk to them and all that, but you're not really in the meeting room or working with them on a hands-on basis like you are on your side of the ball on defense. But I would say that was very good, but I wouldn't say that it was necessarily better than what we had in 96 here with the Patriots, where the defensive staff was myself, Al Groh, Romeo Crennel, and Dante. And I thought that the four of us, as a staff, as on one side of the ball, defensive staff, is, I would put that up there, pretty high. I mean, there were a lot of things that you just felt like you're sitting there doing your job, but you're working with the other coaches and you're kind of in admiration thinking, boy, that guy's really doing a good job, or, that guy's, he saw some things that I didn't see, and then Dante would see him, and Al and Romeo, and there was a great chemistry there, and you know, you walk out of the game, and really I can remember watching films at the Giants and at the Patriots in 96, and, you know, again, that was a similar staff, actually, with the Jets the following 3 years, too. But coming in there Monday watching the game and being upset if there was one play that we really missed, you know, like, geez, this guy ran a, you know, I thought he ran an in-cut, but he was actually running a post, you know. That I should have seen that, you know. But, I mean, the rest of the game, because you take off the game as it's being played. You know, you write down the formation, the play, and what it is, and then, you know, you look at it at halftime and in between series and all that. So you come to the end of the game, and then you go watch the film on Monday, and, you know, a lot of times there's some mistakes on that sheet. You know, it's not quite, you know, the way you saw it. You maybe saw it a little differently than what it really actually is when you go back and look at it. But I'm telling you, on those staffs, we come in there on Monday, and if there was one play wrong, you know, whoever missed it would, you know, it really bothers. I can't believe I missed that. I thought that they blocked it this way, but he really wasn't doing that. He was trying to do something else. I just thought it was something. And so, I mean, I really felt like we were on top of the game, is what I'm saying, as a coaching staff. It was a great feeling. I mean, it was awesome.
Big Show, Patriots Monday. We're talking to Bill Belichick. Super Bowl weekend. We'll be back with more with the coach right after this. Back here on the Big Show, it is Super Bowl week. We're talking with the coach, Bill Belichick, Glenn Ordway, and Mike O'Holly.
Talking about the coaching staff, you've been cited over the years as having great success the second time you faced an opponent. Ironically, the Giants and Tom Coughlin has similar experience, beating both San Francisco and Green Bay the second time around. Is there something about coaching staffs being able to pinpoint something, see that weakness that they missed the first time around, or is it more to do with the players having familiarity now with the guy that they're playing opposite of and changing around the way they play the second time around?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's a tough question. I don't know. There's so many things that go into a football game, but, I mean, in the end, you know, the players win the games, and whatever games we've won, the players have won them. So, you know, you prepare your team, and you prepare your team based on the information that you have as a coach, whether you've played that team before or haven't played them before. You know, we've won a lot of games around here against teams that we played before, but we've won a lot of games against teams that we hadn't played before. So, I don't know. And we've lost them both ways, too. But, you know, I think that in the end it comes down to the players being able to go out there and execute at a better level than their opponents, regardless of whether there was or wasn't a previous game. And I think that's the way it's always going to be.
You know, you talk often about expecting the best from a team. No matter who you're playing, what their record is, you prepare for that team's best effort. And what you just said about the coaching staff really illustrates that, because you know from working with Tom Coughlin that there won't be any strategic slip-ups, or he won't prepare for something. I'll be able to take advantage of this because he's going to miss this on the film. You know for sure you're going to get the best effort from the team, and especially the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Giants have done a great job of that through the years, and Tom has, you know, the Green Bay game in particular, the Hail Mary at the end of the half. I mean, they, you know, that was a play that they, I don't know if they should have really gotten to it or not, but they were able to get to it, and then they got to it, and then they hit it. And, you know, I mean, that was a huge play in the game, but that was great situational football. And then on top of that, it was well executed. You know, the ball was thrown well. They had the guys right there. They were able to make the play. And that's the kind of thing that they do a good job of. They're good in the two-minute. They're good on, you know, the Hail Marys. They stopped the two quarterback sneaks against Atlanta on critical fourth down situations. So they're very good at situational football and very good at making the critical plays in the game. That are just one-time plays. It's only going to come up one time, and if you make it, it makes a big difference, and if you don't, it costs you a lot, but they're very good at those situations.
And you mentioned that Hail Mary play against the Packers. Right before that play, you talk about players being well-coached. No, Bradshaw is heading for the sideline, and as he's heading toward the sideline, you see Manning realize, they both realize the game situation, and Manning is calling a timeout, and Bradshaw knows exactly where he is on the field and how much time he has to work with.
Right. No, they do a great job of that, and that makes a difference. You know, sooner or later it makes a difference. Not every game comes down to a quarterback sneak, or not every game comes down to a Hail Mary, but a lot of them do, and whatever the play is, whether it's a kicking play or, I mean, as we saw last week, you know, the Giants make their field goal, Ravens miss theirs. You know, those are, you just got to be able to make those plays at critical times, and I think their team's well prepared to do it, and obviously they have a lot of good players that can step up and perform under pressure and make those plays. So, That's why they're our opponent this week.
Victor Cruz has had a tremendous season, and it's interesting because he catches a lot of balls, but the thing that gets me is the yards after that catch, Bill, and you've seen what a great plus it's been for your team with both Gronk and Wes Welker. How difficult is it to stop him, and how difficult is it to prevent him from getting another 10 yards on a play? You might have stopped him for 6 yards, and here he is. Next thing you know, he's got 16 and a first down.
Yeah, well, he and Nick's both are very good runners with the ball in their hands. It isn't so much 10 yards after the catch that worries you. It's the 60 yards after the catch, like they've been getting, or, you know, 90 yards after the catch in the Jets game. You know, Nick's took the pass against Green Bay, ran through the team for a touchdown, bounced off a couple tackles. So, you know, those guys have been doing it every week. You know, Cruz and Nick's have both been doing it every week, and there's no question tackling's a huge issue. It's a huge issue with Bradshaw, too. I mean, he's very dangerous, not only as a runner, but in the passing game, screen passes, and you know, checkdowns and outlet plays and things like that. So it's tough to defend a player when he can beat you down the field, when he can make catch and run plays and get the ball in his hands and break a tackle and go a long way too. So those are really the toughest guys to cover, because you're trying to take away the deep pass, but you can't give up the short pass, because you know those catch and run plays can turn into big ones too. So those are tough guys to handle.
I was just going to ask you that about Nick's. That's what makes him so scary. You know, some big guys, you say, oh, he's a big guy, but he's not that fast. Or some guys are fast and they're not that strong, but I remember, I think his rookie year, there was a preseason game here.
Yeah, down the sideline. Yeah, right down the sideline. Yeah.
And he just kind of exploded. I said, wow. You know, so he's got to be one of the toughest guys in the league to match up with, isn't he?
Yeah, and the thing that he and Cruz both do a great job of, so does Ballard, is they go up and get the ball. And, you know, you see them one-on-one with the defender. The defender might be in good position, might be covering him, might be all over him. But they'll go up and out-jump the defender and reach up and take the ball in their hands at the high point and just go up and get it. Cruz had a tremendous play against, I think it was Philadelphia. He went up between two guys right on the goal line, and should have been intercepted, really, you know, goes for a touchdown because he goes up and gets it. Nick's is the same kind of receiver. So having them covered, that's only half the issue. You know, the rest of the problem is actually being able to keep them from getting possession of the ball. And they're very good at that. So they're in traffic, they're in tight coverage, but they'll go up and make the play, even though there's a guy right beside them because of their ball skills. So they're both good receivers.
Just preparation-wise, have you watched every single one of their games, including preseason games, or is that, unnecessary?
Yeah, well, actually, this year we have, just because of the sequence. We played them in the fourth preseason game. So we saw all the preseason games. We played them in the, whatever it was, sixth regular season game. So we had all those games. And now we've had, you know, 10 games after that with an extra week to prepare. So basically we've gotten all the games, yeah. But, you know, without those previous games in the bank, you know, it's hard to get back to all those. Or if you do get back to them, then it's, you know, a little bit of diminishing returns of, you know, how much value really is there going back to a game that was 22 weeks ago. You might find something, but you know, there's some time spent there. But in this case, we had, you know, a lot of games at various points in the year that we had banked on, you know, bankrolled, so to speak. We'd broken them down. We had all the information. So, sure, you go back and pull play here, play there, play here, play there that are good examples of something that you're trying to show, or maybe something that worked or maybe something that didn't work. Yeah, there's definitely value to that. The more recent games are more important because the personnel is what it is. You're not looking at guys like Beatty, for example, left tackle, who's not in this game, or things like that. So, or even when we played him earlier in the season, when Nick's didn't play, when Bradshaw didn't play, you know, now those guys are going to be more of a factor than what they were in those preparation weeks.
Eli got sacked 6 times last week, 20 hits, never seemed to get rattled, just followed through and made that pass. Is he a guy right now that really is matured and polished? Is he a different quarterback than what we've seen over the last few years?
Well, I think he's a real good quarterback. I mean, he's done a good job for him. You know, I thought San Francisco defended him very well last week, and I'm sure San Francisco feels like, you know, if they hadn't fumbled two punts, they'd probably be playing this week, you know. So I don't think they probably have too many, you know, second thoughts about the way they play defensively, although, you know, it's always a player, too, you'd like to have back. So, you know, I think that Manning certainly has, I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's accurate. He throws a good deep ball. Really has good, he has good touch on the ball. He throws a good deep ball. He uses his outlet receiver as well. He's quicker and more mobile in the pocket than people give him credit for. He's a hard guy to tackle in the pocket. He's got good quick feet, and if he has to run, he has the ability to escape out of there. Not that he's looking to run, but he'll use it as another weapon if he needs to. So his decision making's been good. His accuracy's good. I mean, he's one of the top players in the league. No question about that.
Bill, it's time now for your favorite part of the show.
Coach's your question last question of the
right,
year,
last
Bill.
Last question. Coach's question of the week brought to you by Lexus of Watertown. This week's question comes from Kenneth Sampson of Hopedale, Mass. Kenneth wants to know, he says, I was watching my DVDs of past Super Bowls and noticed that in Super Bowls 36, 38, and 39, you wore your traditional gray Patriots hoodie sweatshirt. But in Super Bowl 42, you changed it up and you wore a red hoodie. Which hoodie can we expect to see in Super Bowl 46? You don't get these questions from the media, do you? On behalf of Patriots
Nation. Damn, that was one of my questions. I couldn't use it.
On behalf of Patriots Nation and Good Mojo, we hope it's the gray. Good luck Sunday.
Right, well, but
you can't say it with a straight face.
Popular demand, we definitely won't be seeing the red one. In all honesty, I really don't pay that much attention to it. I swear I don't. People ask me after the game, you know, why did you wear the blue one? Why did you wear the gray one? I just put on whatever's there and grab one, and I don't give it, honestly, any thought at all.
So here we thought
it was a red one in my locker at the Super Bowl. I put it on. We lost the game. All right, so we're not going to wear that one again. I kind of think there was more to it than that. But anyway, it's not something I give a lot of thought to, but I won't wear the red one this year.
See, here we thought you were a big fan of Fashion Week, and you were being fashionable, and there was a lot of thought that went into what sweatshirt, and you're just telling us you just grab whatever is available.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it's not in the locker, I'm not wearing it. So whatever's in the locker, it's got to come from that selection.
For being selected, Kenneth, good question. You win a $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. The Coach's Question of the Week is presented by Lexus of Watertown. Lexus of Watertown inviting you to a new level of excellence. 1-800-GO-LEXUS. Submit your question. We have one more question, maybe, for the coach at WEEI.com/coach. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. Enter at WEEI.com/coach for your chance to win.
Mike, you can talk about the questions, you know, and all that, but I mean, who are the geniuses to pick out the questions that come in?
That's our staff.
Well, I was going to say
that's Andy in the other room.
A very hard working, very hard working production staff.
Right. Guy that tried to take you out one day with the door, almost killed you.
Yeah, remember that? You know, the guy
wouldn't be in the Super Bowl right now if it were for Andy. You know, to try to take you out.
Bull China shop.
Michael asked you one more question. Michael asked you at the top about the preparation, whether it's any different. I'm wondering from a personal standpoint. I mean, here you are, well on to your career. People talk to you, talk about you in high terms with other great coaches out there. I wonder if you view this personally different. Do you enjoy it more? Do you think of it more in a historical vein as you go through the week here at Super Bowl week?
No, I don't think so, Glenn. I think really my focus is just how to best prepare our team to play the New York Giants. I mean, that's all there is, and the rest of it, you know, we can sit back and put our feet up on the table and talk about it some other time. But, I mean, right now, it's what can we do to beat the Giants, and what can we do to, you know, to raise our level of performance to its absolute maximum and pinnacle. This is the week to do it. So, you know, the rest of that, whatever it is, it is. Whatever we want to talk about, we can analyze it later. That can wait. But this game won't wait. It's coming, and whatever we can do to be at our best, that's incumbent on all of us in the organization to do it right now. I mean, this is what we've worked all year for. I don't think now's the time to reflect back. I think now's the time to press forward and attack the challenge of getting ready for the New York Giants. So that's what we're going to do.
Bill, have a phenomenal week and even a better Sunday.
All right, sounds good.
In Indianapolis. Good seeing you.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Bill Belichick right here on The Big Show on Patriots Monday.